Well, tonight I want to talk again about the Holy Spirit who's working on our minds, because your mind is a battleground and we can decide what we put our mind over, whether it's upon the things of God or upon the things of this world. And we also know that there is a great healing and deliverance being worked by the Holy Spirit on our minds, bringing our minds into conformity into the will of God. As it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we're to set our minds upon God. And we'll just read this to start this off tonight. It's a familiar chapter and verse, but I just want to read it to you in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, for your mind to be worked upon by God, because that's the ultimate of God's aim and purpose, you've got to really settle verse 1. Because he says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God. So you can do no more than present your whole self before God. And when you're presenting your whole self before God, that is a sign to God and the powers of darkness that you're also presenting your mind, the brain. That brain that was made and created for God's glory. But when man fell, the enemy wanted to have access to that brain, that mind of ours, and to rob us of our blessing with God. And so being now in these times of restoration, where God is restoring, it means that God is restoring, conforming, transforming, renewing, working upon man's mind to bring us back into a knowledge and understanding of the Lord God Almighty. And we note that he does it in this life. And that is why a lot of your battles are not actually your circumstances. It is actually in the mind, the attitude, the thinking. And so I want to look a bit on this tonight. And we're calling this deciding what you want to put your mind to. Deciding what you wish to put your mind to. And you have the choice. And if you want to have your mind, heart set upon God, upon his word, then the Lord will begin to work it. And then the battle's on. And then you begin to find that when the battle's on, the very thing that you desire and want, which is to set your mind and heart upon God, you find for a season it's nothing but it seems to be set upon other things. Things of this world, or things that are causing anxiety or frustration or fear, or things you want to do. And then we find that the battle is on, the conflict is on. But the battle is, in these last days, is for man's mind. And there are two who are in conflict for this. It is God and the enemy. And if you have presented yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord, then the Lord is going to fight. And he's going to win your battles. And many of your battles is winning the mind over to God. And this is why the devil fights. Because when man fell, Satan knew exactly where he could hold him. And that is in the mind, in his thinking. And so this is why we have these great conflicts, these forces that are going on. And of course, this is why I believe that in the last days, we're living now in an age and generation where the spirit of this age is absolutely brainwashing this last generation. There is such demonic forces that's working upon the mind, brainwashing, really trying to control man's mind under these occult influences. And of course, we know that the Antichrist is going to come with great power and force, and his trickery will be brainwashing, trying to control man's mind. And many dictators use this demonic power in which to control, to brainwash. And of course, we're going to see this in the last day. And this is why the battle is on. And this is why, for the Christian, the overcomer, we give our minds over to God in our consecration. We take on the mind of Christ. And so we must allow the Holy Spirit to work that deliverance in our mind. Now, when I say work that deliverance, what I simply mean by that is that doors will be closed where they've been open, and access the powers of darkness have been trying to influence. And of course, the Word of God is going to work that deliverance. And if we turn to Romans chapter 8 and verses 4 to 8, here it speaks about where we are delivered from that indwelling sin, that sin that once held us, where we're now delivered. We're delivered from the sense that, yes, if we sin, and we will sin, but it's not in our hearts to want to sin or to continue in that sin and enjoy that sin, because we now have the new birth. And if we take that up in Romans 8, verses 4 to 8, it says here that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you see, if we have the Holy Spirit, that is, we're born again, filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then the fight is on, because something within us, the new birth, doesn't want to set our mind on the things of the flesh any longer. And of course, the enemy wants to try and keep you in the flesh and to set your mind on the things of the flesh. And he goes on here in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be carnally minded. And that is why the Holy Spirit works upon our mind, closing those doors to the mind where the carnal, the flesh, once fed the mind, the lusts of the flesh. And so the deliverance is on. Why is this? Why does God do this? Because in verse 7 it simply tells us that the carnal mind is enmity against God. So God is not in the carnal mind, and he cannot be. Therefore, God, in his mercy and grace in salvation, has to set in that salvation a working upon our minds to change our minds. Now, you can't do it. You cannot change your mind. It can only take an empowering through the new birth, in which God can start to work that change, that deliverance upon the mind. It's impossible otherwise. You can try it, but you will fail. Only the Holy Spirit can work this. And so you see, the battle is only in the mind to those who walk in the Spirit, who can win this war. You won't know if you're in the, if you have a carnal mind, you're not at all aware of a battle that's going on in the mind. You talk to the people out there in the world with a carnal mind, and they will wonder what you're talking about. Now, they may go to a psychiatrist, and psychiatrists are aware that the man's mind can be oppressed and held in illness, in depression and so on, but they don't understand. Only the Christian, filled with the Spirit, whose eyes are being opened, can really begin to understand what this battle is about. And this battle is in the mind. I might add that tonight, as we sit here and as we listen to this word, there's a battle that's going on. And the battle is in the mind. And there will be those even who will come on in this room who will listen to this word and will be battling in the mind. You see, if there's wrong doctrine, poison put into them, then that's a battle in the mind. For what goes in must come out. You see, if a computer is programmed wrong, then that programming will come out at certain points until it's altered and changed. And so we're the same. And so if you like to put it very crudely, God's programming us through the Word of God. It is the Word of God that changes us, that undoes the carnal, that closes those doors that have been opened into the mind. It is the Word of God that brings down heresy, wrong teaching, if we stay with it. Otherwise, the battle is on, you see, in our thinking. Now, let's turn to Isaiah 26. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. And it says here, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength." So he says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So again, the Holy Spirit, to work this deliverance in the mind, he has to work in which we have an attitude, a heart that is stayed upon God, that through the course of the day thinks upon the Lord, who meditates upon him, where we go into our closet and we pray and we seek him. And so that is what it means here. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which we should have, comes as a result because our mind is thinking upon the Lord. So that everything is thinking and working from above, from the realm of the Spirit, and not from the realm of the carnal. For the carnal mind is beneath, on this earth. Our minds are above, in Christ Jesus. And that should be where our thinking, our meditation should be. Now, of course, God knows that you can't have your mind solely upon him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, that's totally impossible in that sense. But we're talking of an attitude, a motive, a heart, so that that mind there is the mind of Christ being wrought and worked in through you and me by the Holy Spirit. So that when we need to have a mind or need to seek God, or we just turn to him briefly in the course of the day, it is there working. It is operative, you see. So that's what it really means there. And it says here that the peace of God, which speaks of relationship with God, which is vital for the victory of the mind. So a relationship with God, walking with God in covenant and in his presence, is vital for man's mind to be worked upon and renewed and changed. It can't be done otherwise. This isn't just a teaching where, yes, you listen to this tonight and think, oh, that sounds good. Yes, this has got my name and address on it. And then you don't bother anymore, or you don't continue to seek God about it. Or this word that you hear, you take away maybe and pray about it and so on. It won't work otherwise. This isn't just another good sermon tonight, which I trust and believe it is. But it's a word, it's God's word that's to do that work. And what we're hearing through the Deeper Life teaching should be causing us to seek God daily, should be causing us to come back for more. That is what the Deeper Life teaching is about, so that it causes us to come back for more and more and more, and make us more and more hungry. And there is a remnant even upon the internet tonight who faithfully come week after week into this room because the Deeper Life teaching is causing them to want more and more. For what purpose? For that change, that deliverance. Walking in God's presence, their minds being worked upon. If the Word of God is not doing that to people, to believers, then something is wrong. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So there's something within us that is going to follow the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Because it's our need. It's our spiritual food. It's what's going to work on me, conforming me into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what it must do. If the Word is not doing that, then something is wrong. And there are many who come on, there are many who come into these rooms, but the Word isn't doing that to them. And yet they're not being open and honest enough to really examine their hearts to see why this isn't happening. There are many professing Christians that are around in the world today, but this Word isn't really doing that in them. And they don't ask that question, why is God's Word not really changing me, conforming me into the image of Jesus Christ? It's probably simple, because they don't really want it, if they were to be honest. But that's what it must do. What does it say in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, which you know well. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here we are. Here's a real deliverance here. If you want to guard your mind, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, let your love, let your gentleness, your generosity, your charity, your thoughtfulness, your serving your neighbor, your brother, your sister. There's the practical side of the Christian walk. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Anxiety is the number one weapon Satan uses to keep your mind still open to the powers of darkness to buffet you. And if there's anything that God is casting down, delivering us from, is anxiety. And it is unbelief that keeps the door of anxiety open. And God is going to show you this in time, what this anxiety does. Because the enemy knows how to work to try and keep our minds still open, to be buffeted by the powers of darkness. And we're shown here that anxiety is that main spirit that will attack. And that's why the enemy tries to attack you with anxiety. Well, what if? Well, if we trust God, then it's going to be this. Or because there's a delay in your prayers, you become anxious. It can work in so many, many ways, this anxiety. How are we going to pay these bills at the end of the month? Anxiety. It can work in so many, many ways. And sometimes I have found the best remedy to anxiety is actually just to speak out to the powers of darkness and say, yes, Satan, yes, it does look as though God is late. Yes, there are these bills to be paid and there's no money here and it's got to be paid by tomorrow. But praise God, he's on the throne and I'm just not going to be anxious. Because God is in control and he never makes a mistake. I found sometimes just speaking it out like that is my deliverance. And suddenly it's like you don't care. It's just over in God's hands. And let the enemy growl. Let them roar. Let them make all that noise that they do. But nothing can touch you. And what's happening is you're getting a deliverance in your mind. Those fears are going. That what if is going. You can't do that. Why, you'll sink if you walk on the water. All those fears start to dissolve and go. And as he says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's what you do. So have you prayed? Have you handed it over to God? If you have, you leave it there, then God says that that anxiety must go in the name of Jesus. Now, if you haven't prayed and sought God about those things or whatever it would be, then that door is going to be open. And yes, you're going to be anxious. And that faith to believe is not going to be there. But if you've handed it over to God, you've supplicated, you've left it there, then God is going to start to deal with that anxiety that's robbing you from your blessings from God. Did you know anxiety works with unbelief? And that is why so often your prayers are not always being answered. And he says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is how Jesus walked. That is how his mind and heart was guarded. That is how he could face and eventually could face the cross, that death on the cross, because he had the peace of God which surpassed all understanding. In other words, you don't try and work it out. This peace that I have, I'm not even going to try and work it out. I'm not even going to question it. I just have the blessing and peace of God in my life, and that's how I choose to walk. And there's the blessing, you see. And he says that's going to guard your hearts. And what else is it going to guard? Your mind. Why is it the mind and the heart are together there? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think fear, you are fear. If you think anger, you are anger. If you think resentment, you are resentment. You are what you think. And so he says, that will guard. So you can't do it. You can't get that deliverance. Only God can guard your mind and heart by his peace. So he'll work that on your behalf. And he says, I'll do it, providing you acknowledge that anxiety. You bring that anxiety. You bow the knee before my presence and admit anxiety works in your life. Then I'll work that deliverance and I will be your peace. I will be your guard and I'll make sure your mind is not touched. Now, what a deliverance, brothers and sisters, eh? Hallelujah. What a reward. What a blessing. We'd be absolutely crazy to turn away from this when God says that's what he will do. Hallelujah. And that is why the enemy tries to work with fear, what if, and tries to get our minds working it out, getting into the carnal, how the world thinks, and so on. What a rat race it is. What does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. A sound mind, the mind of Christ. So see, again, this is why Satan works with this fear, this anxiety. Because he knows that keeps your mind open and he still has access to your mind. Now, it doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're battling, whatever in your life, that isn't really the problem. That weakness or that sin, that unbelief isn't actually the problem. What the problem is your mind is open and God wants to close it. That's the real problem. He gets us so locked in, oh, well, you can't change. Oh, you won't be healed. Oh, you're not going to get that deliverance. Well, the reason we're still battling, the reason it's not manifesting, because the mind is still open. But God says it closed the mind. That's what he's really going to do. And how Satan gets us locked in to that. But God's promised that he will do this. For he has given us his love. He's given us his peace. It is ours. And whatever's happening, just let it go. If it's collapsing all around you, let it collapse. Because you have the peace and mind of God. And that is your strength. That is your deliverance. That is what takes over when everything naturally, carnally, seems to be collapsing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. What does it say in 1 Chronicles 28? 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Verses 9-10. And here it's under the context of where Solomon is instructed in which to build the temple. Remember that David wanted to build a temple but for God, but God said, no, you're a man of bloody hands, but your son will build it, Solomon. And let's just read here in verses 9 and 10. He says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understanding all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And so here again is this principle that works with us. Having a loyal heart and a willing mind. So if that's what you believe, that's what you believe you've got, God's given you through the new birth, which we should have. Says he says, the Lord searches all hearts and understanding all the intent of the thoughts. So God searches our minds, our thoughts, our hearts. Why does he do that? He's searching it in order for the mind, for any doors that would be open to the mind to be closed. That's the reason why he does it. And he wants you to know that he's doing that in your life. He's going to search the heart. And how do we often know what is going on in our hearts? Well, trials will tell us. And that is why God will permit us to go through trials and tests in order to expose what is really in the heart so that the heart is changed, worked upon in order for the mind, the doors into the mind, to be closed. That's all he does. And that's what he was doing here with Solomon. So these are our deliverances that the Holy Spirit works upon. I also just want to read briefly to you in the book. Wait a minute, let's see if I can get in here. Right, in the book of Nehemiah, just briefly here in Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now, of course, when the children of Israel came back under Nehemiah, they were to rebuild the fallen down walls. They had to be rebuilt. And so that was their task. And so God had to place within them, or he was exalting them, to have a mind toward this to build. So you need to have a mind, an attitude. And tonight the Holy Spirit is saying to us, do you have a mind, a heart, for God to work deliverance upon your mind? Have you set your mind to it? Do you want it? Do you want to have a heart for this? For your mind to be changed and worked upon, this deliverance. It's entirely up to us. See, God never forces this work that he does with us unless we want it. And so that is the challenge tonight through this teaching. Is that what you want? For God to work on your mind, to set that deliverance. So those doors that were once open to be closed. Just like the children of Israel who were to come back after 70 years in Babylon and to rebuild the temple. But they had to have a mind, a heart to build. And that is the point. And again, in God's mercy and grace, he works that into our hearts. Well, there's just a few areas I want to look at in bringing this in conclusion. And firstly, that is where you are vulnerable for attack, that is with the mind, bring it before the Lord. Confess. Possibly war in the spirit. And so again, this is where we have to be honest, where our minds, we know that our minds are still open, vulnerable. The enemy knows he has access to the mind. And therefore, we're to bring that and confess that before God. And the Holy Spirit will begin to work on that. And sometimes it might be warfare. It might just be waiting. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to work, the Word of God to work. But any areas where we know our mind still has open and it's open to attack, we need to confess that. We need to talk that out with God. Because God knows and the enemy knows. And this is where we have to be completely open and honest. And the second area is keep with the Word of God and keep hearing and reading it. And this is why we encourage brothers and sisters to stay with the Word, to come to the meetings, to come online, to come into the room where you know the anointed Word of God is being preached, because it's working upon your mind. Working that deliverance. That is part of the washing, the renewing of the word. That washing is also working on our minds, bringing our minds into conformity with the will and plan of God. And so that will work. That will happen. Because the power of God's word will work that deliverance upon the mind. And so that is absolutely vital, secondly, for our changed minds. And thirdly, sometimes to get change, that is in the mind, you have to ask God to put sometimes a complete hate in your heart for those areas where that door or doors are still open into the mind. Because I remember I said that the mind and the heart are connected together. If the mind is open, then the heart is still looking for affection, looking to the lusts of the flesh. And so sometimes it's just asking the Holy Spirit to put a hate for that thing. Maybe you still have a problem with the tongue. And you've tried desperately to control the tongue, but you can't. And so sometimes to just get that deliverance, which simply means just to keep your mouth shut, you've got to ask God to put a hate in your heart, to say anything that would be displeasing to him, to say anything that would not glorify the Lord's name. And I think many of us, in fact most of us, if we're to be honest, and we're going on into the deeper life with God, have had to seek God sooner or later in our lives about our tongue and what comes out of our mouth. For it's a deadly weapon. And so, again, only the Holy Spirit can work that. But we say those things, or we sin with our tongue, because the mind is still open in that area. That door is still open, and the enemy knows it, how to work it. Again, only God can achieve this and do this for his glory at the end of the day. And Rome wasn't built in a day, so you're not going to get a deliverance straight away. But this is why we stay with it. This is why we keep coming back. This is why we keep hearing the word as it washes over us, working that healing, that deliverance, that change. And suddenly you begin to find, hang on, I'm not saying those things like I used to say. Praise God, something's happened, something's changed. But I'll tell you what's really happened also is your mind no longer is open, subject to it. You see? That's how God works this. And fourthly, it takes time, endurance. And sometimes time, endurance, is our biggest healing in our life. It's the healing factor. And this is why so often we're not seeing immediate manifestations to our prayers or to whatever we're believing for. I think we've seen over the years that God, with the overcomers, the first fruits, he's allowing delays for a reason. Because time is often the greatest healer. Delays are actually bringing about deliverance on the mind. You see, if God gave us everything immediately what we prayed for, whether it be in healing, finances, the salvation of our loved ones, those needs that we have and whatever, then that real deliverance would not be worked upon on our minds. And so I am convinced that delays, sometimes even that knocking in faith, persisting, keeping with it, is where our real deliverance and working upon our mind is taking place. See, God knows, doesn't he? And you see, many of the giants of the land are actually the doors that are still open in your mind. Remember, those giants to an overcomer can't destroy you because you have the victory over them. But you're looking too much to their size. You're listening too much to their big voices and to their threats. And that is the problem. And so God is working that deliverance in us so that our minds are closed from hearing and seeing those giants. Just like Joshua and Caleb, who came back and said, "We're well able to take the giants of the land." But the rest of the elders, who were full of unbelief, said, "Ah, yes, but have you seen the size of them? We're like grasshoppers in their sight." And so on. And of course, immediately fear came upon the people, and that confession came out that they wished they were back in Egypt or back in the wilderness. It would have been better that we perished there than come into all of this. And God eventually had to give them up, give them over to what they confessed. Which brings me to the final thing, that the reason that God is working this deliverance in your mind and my mind is to change our confession. Because all the while, access through the powers of darkness into the mind, the heart, you will still be confessing what is still open in your mind. You can try and change that confession. You can determine after this teaching tonight, right, my confession is going to change. I'm going to have these doors closed in my mind. you're already fallen flat on your face. And Satan knows where to hold us in our confession, because the mind is still open. And so as God works upon our mind, sending that deliverance in our mind, then our confession changes. And even though we may spiritually see those giants, and those giants try to oppose and stop us from entering in and possessing the promised land that is for the overcomers, when those minds are closed, those doors are closed, you will continue to march on, and you will not be affected by their threats, by their size. The same as Joshua and Caleb were not. Why? Because we're told they were of another spirit. What does it mean that they were of another spirit? They were a type of overcomer. They knew God was working on them. They knew when they saw those giants, yes, they're there, but God has meant them to be there for a reason. And that's the whole point of this. Your tests, your trials don't come as a surprise, because you know God has allowed them for a reason, in which your faith is to be seen. That's why it shouldn't take us by surprise. And anybody who becomes offended by their trials and absolutely surprised by their trials are committing the sin that the children of Israel did. They shouldn't be a surprise to us, because that is the way into the kingdom of God. We must go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of God, it says in Acts 16. And so though those trials are there, they're real, but they shouldn't take us by surprise, because God has permitted it, allowed it, in order that you, that they, the powers of darkness can see you're of another spirit. Yes, it's real. Those giants are real. But God has said, I'm able to take it. Don't know how, but I will. And I refuse to accept it. I'm not going to accept that. That is not my testimony. I don't accept that disease in my body. I don't accept that bondage. I don't accept that poverty. I don't accept it. It may be my experience at the moment. It's what I'm going through, but that hasn't taken God by surprise. But I will overcome, because Christ has overcome all things. I tell you, brothers and sisters, as you start approaching that, that is closing doors to your mind that the enemy has tried to hold your mind for years. And I tell you, these accesses into the mind are probably ancestral. You can see many of those characteristics that were in your mother, in your father, in your grandparents, and their grandparents. And God says, enough. I'm breaking those curses. I'm closing those doors. That's the deeper life. That is our deliverance. That is healing the children's bread. What are we going to believe, brothers and sisters? Are you going to believe tonight your trials, your tests, what you're going through? Or are you going to be of that other spirit like Joshua and Caleb? Yes, they're there, and God has allowed them to be there in my life, but I am well able to take the giants of the land, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We have a choice in which we decide what we want to believe. And on that basis, you either receive life or death. You have the choice. Well, I trust that if we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we've truly heard this word tonight from our hearts, then we don't make that wrong decision. Because whatever your trials are, that has been allowed, permitted by God to perfect you. And yes, they look absolutely negative. They look completely contrary to this walk and to the promises that we read in God's word. Your trials at times make you wonder if you're actually really saved. But to the overcomer, whatever it looks like, but God has said, I'm well able to take the giants of the land. And if God has said it, that's good enough. and I'm not going to question, I'm not going to analyze, I'm not going to ask why, how, when, what if. I'm just going to let the peace of God rule in my mind and heart in relationship with God, because the battle is not mine, it is the Lord's. Amen. Father, tonight we thank you for this word. Yes, Lord, it has admonished us, but I believe it's also encouraged us. And your word has come to give us life, and life in abundance. And Lord, I pray tonight that deliverance has been sent forth by your word, by your mercy, into our minds and hearts. That your that brothers and sisters here tonight will go away with a different mind, a different attitude, a different heart. Father, I thank you that it is so simple, and that's why we complicate it and foul it up. But you have started a work, will complete and finish it in us. And our confession is that we're well able to take the giants of the land, because you have given a land of promise, a land of plentiful, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, that the overcomers are to possess and take in the last days. And Father, we thank you for it in anticipation. And Lord, I pray for any of those who may be going through real trials tonight. Father, help them not to see it strange or indifferent, but that you have allowed it, permitted it for a reason. It is absolutely tailor-made, because it's working deliverance in the mind and the heart. Our very trials are to close those doors to the mind where the enemy has had access before. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight. Father, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us. Be with us, Father, when we go out and when we come in. Give your angels charge over us. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Father, let us be charitable, loving. Let us serve one another, our neighbour. Let us continue daily taking up our cross, that death to the self-life, that the life of Christ may live in and through us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.